Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Before we talk about costochondritis, I just have to say we are back with another major discount for the Gen Health platform. So if you've been holding out, you've heard us talk about it, but you haven't jumped in yet, we're giving 57% discount on the yearly membership. This is what's going to renew for you every single year at 57% off, which is $129. Think of what you can spend for $129. And with this, you get 11 different plans. Each plan has two or three phases, which we're going to continue to add to, which we're going to continue to make better. And with that, you get monthly check-ins with me where I'm not only answering questions, but I'm really reviewing a part of the body to dive in a little bit deeper to help you understand and unpack what could be going on. Now, our community is just incredible. We continue to grow. We continue to get good feedback on what people are learning and opening up to and following a plan. Having something on a day-to-day basis that you just get to show up, not think about, and just do within your body, whether it's mobility, core foundations, breath work, strength, or muscle activations, corrective exercises. We have it all within each of the programs. So I hope that you get in. Just check it out. Start a free week. Why not? Sign up right now. You can decide. Go into a plan and see what it feels like to actually follow this. Now, if you sign up for a free week, I really want you to commit. Can you show up every single day of this week and see what it feels like in your body to start one of these plans? And if you have any questions, you know you can reach out to me at jen@docgenfit.com or DM me straight on Instagram, docgenfit. If you are in our community, I am here for you. I want to help you understand your body better and feel something different. So get in at jen.health/free trial, start a free week, and get in with this 57% discount. So we're talking about costochondritis, which, if you're not as familiar with it, it is like inflammation around the cartilage that connects our ribs together and even our sternum. So you might get pain like around that sternum or that breastplate area between the ribs. It might hurt with like deep breath, stuff like that. We're going to talk about what really kind of causes costochondritis and what you can start to do to either relieve that pain and hopefully prevent that pain. Because especially if this is something you've never felt before, trust me, you don't want to feel it because a lot of people struggle with releasing and relieving this pain.
And we also did a podcast on slipping rib syndrome that was all the way back on episode 48. So you can
84.
Episode 84 got a little mixed up with my numbers. So if you want to go check that out, also, if you're watching YouTube, we'll try and tag it somewhere up here. And that is going to have some similar things because costochondritis isn't necessarily slipping rib syndrome. They're not necessarily equal, but they might have similar symptoms or presentations as well as what
exercises.
We're going to do. As well as what we're going to do to help out with them.
Yeah, exactly. So when we're thinking of like, well, where does this come from? And honestly, a lot of the causes are unknown, but unfortunately, it's higher in females and it is higher once you get over the age of 40. You're more likely, not more likely, it just happens more often, I would say, in those populations.
And one thing that we have to think about the rib cage is like the rib cage is this structure that was created to protect all of these vital organs that we hold in here, like our heart, our lungs, our liver. So inherently, it's a really stable structure, which is great for a lot of reasons, but also there are so many vessels and nerves that run right along the inside or in between those ribs. So when that structure is so stable, if we ever get, you know, a lack of mobility or what mobility we might have in that rib cage, it can start to irritate some of those different nerves or occlude different vessels from being able to run smoothly through certain spaces. And that's what can start to irritate the nerves and then therefore irritate this cartilage. There are other different things that contribute, like traumas. So if you have trauma to the chest wall, if you've gotten in a car accident and the seatbelt yanks really hard at you, those are different things that might irritate certain rib segments.
And they even say like even a tight hug can sometimes irritate a lot of people. And that could be, you know, a little bit more psychosomatic that you're kind of dealing with, a little bit more maybe emotional trauma, associated with this pain and somatic experience that's happening.
Unrelated to the hug.
But related to the hug.
I suppose, yeah.
And that's when you feel it, right? And you are going to you're going to say, oh, that hug is what causing my pain. Or It could even be a tight bra that a lot of people complain of, maybe if the underwire, like that is
digging in,
yeah, and like continuous pressure in an area that can start to cause maybe some irritation. However, again, there's no one direct reason someone might develop it, and it can last, you know, anywhere from weeks to months, and then sometimes it's recurring. Some people have had it last for up to a year.
And a lot of the times it's not going to be on both sides or every single rib or area that you have cartilage between your ribs. You'll generally get presentation on one side and maybe a specific segment or area that you notice is really irritated. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll notice is that movement or exercise related things that can be associated with this are anything repetitive, mm-hmm. things that are overhead, things that cause us to use a lot of our chest, neck, upper shoulder muscles that all tend to attach right into that rib cage. And mm-hmm. if we're doing repetitive things, those muscles might be pulling on a specific rib segment more than others and start to cause some of that irritation.
Or say you've done something that's a little bit out of the norm. So you're lifting something heavy, you're moving. All of a sudden you're using like a lot of that upper body strain and stress on your body that you're not typically used to. Mm-hmm. Or you could be sick and that's lasting like a really long time and you're repetitively coughing and kind of using those muscles, because every time we cough, we kind of bear down and we contract around the muscles around the rib cage. So that repetitive coughing, those really deep breaths, that can cause some repetitive irritation that's happening around the area.
Same with laughing and sneezing. So don't go to like 4 comedy shows in a row. Okay. Otherwise, you might get costochondritis.
Right. So a lot of times what we just explained in terms of what can cause a lot of this is the symptoms that you're going to feel. So say it is worse in some of those movements or certain positions or rolling over or laying on your back or laying on a certain side. When you're putting pressure on a certain either segment or rib cage area, you know, that can elicit some pain and symptoms. Same with coughing, laughing, like all of those things that we were just talking about, those repetitive stressors that can lead and can potentially cause costochondritis are the same things that really elicit those same symptoms and pain that you're feeling.
Even things as seemingly simple as like bending down to pick up a grocery bag because you're going to need to like flex kind of through the side of that rib cage, mm-hmm. or even opening a door. If the door's a little heavier than you might expect, it might cause some torque through our rib cage. And again, if you have active costochondritis, if things are flared up, that might elicit some of that pain. And really, as we talk about with many of these pain disorders, once our system gets into that hyper-excitable state, you know, the first trick and the first challenge is getting it to calm down. And how do we start to get that nerve to calm down so that we don't have as much pain when we do these movements? That's going to be kind of the first thing that we talk about when it comes to treatments.
Exactly. And like I kind of like touched on before, we have to take a look at the bigger picture of what's also going on in our environment, because we've talked about this with pain before, right? So if something has elicited that pain symptom, but now we're in a stressful environment, we're not sleeping as much, or we're getting chewed out by the boss, or there's just so much going on at home that's really overwhelming, or you're in a fight with a really good friend. Like, what could be happening that could be eliciting that stress response and keeping you in that heightened state? And so now our body's a little bit more sensitive when we feel that pain come on, when we feel those symptoms, mm-hmm. and we're not able to, like, it's just too overwhelming. Our cup is overflowing, our brain doesn't know what to do, and it's just going to continue to put in those pain signals. So now anytime we do go open a door, or we do go bend over or left, we
or
start
get
that
to tight hug.
Yeah, we feel those symptoms even more. And so we're going to talk about the exercises that you can do. Of course, we always do, right? But we have to be cognizant and aware of the greater environment. And for some people, you might say, I'm not stressed, like everything's going fine. But what if you just journaled it or like wrote down your day to day? Take a look at the inventory of your life just to see what could be adding in, or maybe you're getting a tracker to track how much you're sleeping or how well you're sleeping. Like, you know, getting some feedback is really important as well as these exercises we're going to talk about.
Yeah, because anytime our body goes into or feels that stress, especially if we're living in it in multiple days in a row, like you said, in a workplace environment or the kids are running amok at home and you feel like you can't quite get ahead, our body, evolutionarily, it goes into this protect mode where we might not be breathing as effectively. We might be breathing more from our upper chest. We might be have more tension in those muscles around that neck to kind of act like we're keeping our skull and our neck safe. But in reality, that's just adding tension to all these muscles up around the neck. And even when we were looking through some of the research, it showed that people who tend to have costochondritis had all of these different hypomobilities, so lacks of mobilities or extra tension in all the muscles around the chest and the neck. Like it listed off the pec major, the pec minor, the levator scapulae, the scalenes, an elevated first and second rib, lack of mobility in your rib cage, but also lack of mobility from the low neck, so C7 vertebrae, all the way through your thoracic spine.
Yeah.
And if we have a lack of mobility in those places, kind of like we said all the way at the beginning, the rib cage is already a very stable structure. We don't need to add hypomobility and tight muscles around it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so if we have to think about that stress response, because even as you were saying it, you were kind of demonstrating, you know, those shoulders start to come up toward our ears and we're building in that tension. So as much as you want to stretch, as much as you want to do manual treatment and massage and kind of work out those muscles, if you don't change your environment of stress, you're not going to change the feedback that's coming into the body. Mm-hmm. All of those measures of manual treatment, of things to stretch and massage and relax those tissues are only going to last temporarily. And I think that's what's so incredibly important. I get DMs all the time while I'm doing massage and I'm seeing my chiropractor and I'm doing all these passive treatments. But are you taking inventory on what you're doing on a day-to-day or how your environment is affecting you? Mm-hmm. It's so incredibly important because we have to rewire the system. And so that's kind of like the exercises that we're going to be talking about that start to rewire the way that our body naturally operates, whether it's in stress or just through movements in life and how we're taking breaths. And one of the first things that I like to start people off with is going in front of a mirror and just taking some deep, slow, long breaths, which you think is going to be relaxing. And take a look. Do your shoulders raise? Does your neck tense? That's a huge one. I've been on calls with people, even just virtually, and the neck is the one thing that's firing up every single time they're trying to take a relaxing breath. So just starting to get familiar, what is my natural pattern so that we can start to rewire a new pattern?
Yeah. And of course, we talk about, you know, how we don't want to just rely on passive treatments, but we're going to talk about five or six things at the end that we would maybe start people off with. And two of them include tools and passive tools. So it's not that you shouldn't use those things. It's not that you shouldn't get massage or have anything else that's passive that is being done to you, but it's adding in these things that are going to help you create a new normal and a new environment in your system. So just to start off with, of course, when we're looking at treatment, we want to start to become more aware of or remove some of the things that were irritating in the first place. Yeah. If swinging the tennis racket is something that you think started the irritation and is now very irritating to do, you might need to take a break from tennis or pickleball, because pickleball is all the rage these days. Your mom even said she needs to start learning how to play pickleball.
That's hilarious. What else do you do when you're tired?
I would love to play some pickleball with your mom.
That's hilarious. Other things that we could start to do, we're going to talk about some specific stretches that we really like and some specific movements that aid in that, as Dom said, but we can also just start with walking or some gentle swimming in a pool and really starting to get heat on the body. So that's going to start to help to increase that blood flow and down-regulate the system, kind of help us relax a little bit.
Yeah, and
more.
As we know from the podcast we did on heat treatments and heat therapies, heat just has this calming effect. It's going to help our brain release more of those endorphins, and it has a gating, so a pain gating effect where our body and our brain feels the heat and that soothing before the pain signals get to our brain. So it's going to just help calm all that down anyway.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the stretches that we love. So when we're talking about tight pecs, traditionally, you know, it's the doorway one, where if you have limitation in your shoulder, external rotation, that is a really hard stretch for a lot of people. So I actually don't prefer that one. I think you have to really mix it up and find a different place for your arms, you know. But I think an even more relaxing one that I go to time and time again is the wall pec stretch. And we'll show on YouTube what that looks like. But really, we're just thinking of opening up. We kind of get a little bit of thoracic upper back mobility, which is typically lacking in those who have costochondritis. And what you're really focusing on, rather than just the pec stretch, but you're focusing on the deep breathing and the relaxing breathing. And what I like to do when I do that, the arm that's stretching, the opposite arm, I wrap my hand around my low rib cage and I try to feel that low rib cage move. So I try to put the breath into my hand on that side that I'm stretching so that I can start to expand that rib cage, get that mobility back in that rib cage, and get that system to downregulate as I'm opening up the front of that chest.
Yeah, and then after that, continuing with kind of this downregulation and finding ways to get breath, especially breath to expand the rib cage, get into a child's pose. So, and again, if child's pose is difficult to get into because of your knee mobility or your hip mobility, you can always elevate your hands on a surface or sit with a little pillow kind of in the crook of your knee to help with that, any knee discomfort. But getting into child's pose and sitting back and then just taking 3 to 4 deep breaths kind of in the back of that rib cage. Yeah. So feeling the breath expand into the back of your rib cage and then relaxing and then moving from a straight ahead child's pose to kind of a lateral child's pose. So you reach your arm across and then you're going to feel that stretch all the way through your lat, which again kind of connects down into the back of your rib cage and will also help you breathe into the side of that rib cage. So through all of these stretches, that's going to be one thread that's, you know, going to remain is the breath.
Yeah. And we really want to make sure, because a lot of deep breathing does elicit symptoms with costochondritis. So you want to breathe to what is tolerable for you, right? So you don't need to take these huge deep breaths if that's eliciting your pain. We're not saying to breathe into pain. We're saying we want to start to move that rib cage. So even if that's a little inhale, like a 1 to 2 second inhale, and then a really long exhale. Again, you don't have to do this deep breathing that is like really trying to get this huge expansion. It could be 1 to 2 second, maybe you hold your breath a little bit and then do a 3 to 4 second exhale. It doesn't have to be this 10 second long thing, this huge breath in. We're just trying to talk about getting your mind, again, rewired. Where am I breathing from? Rather than using my upper ribs, I'm now going to use my low ribs.
Absolutely. And so number three, here's where one of the tools that we love to use comes in. It's the Corgis ball. It's kind of a medium-ish size ball that has a little bit of deflation to it, and it's got a great grippiness to it. So we recommend doing this without a shirt on or with a sports bra on. And you can start on your stomach where that ball is just kind of on the low part of your rib cage and you're laying and allowing yourself to breathe and trying to press those ribs out into that ball. And after a few of those breaths, you can move to the side. Again, try and breathe down into that side of that rib cage, into that ball, do it on the other side. And then you can lay with the ball right on your back, kind of in the middle of your thoracic spine or kind of even with your chest. And you almost just rotate on it. And what that's going to do is it's going to grip the skin and kind of put this little bit of a torque into the skin. And it's really going to start to give some input to the fascia that's right underneath the skin that lays right over that rib cage. So again, a very relaxing feeling. Like Jen said, you always want to just go and tap right up to your tolerance. Mm-hmm. I would say if pain is a doorway, you don't want to just run up to it and kick the doorway down. You want to run up to it and not knock just gently on that doorway and then back away.
Yeah. And one of the techniques that Jill Miller, who created the Corgis Ball, uses when talking about trying to get into that relaxed state that I really like is she kind of uses our PNF techniques that we use as PTs, right? Where we do a little, as you're laying on the ball, you know, you kind of do a little inhale again to what's tolerable for you. And then you contract the body. So you kind of like, you're thinking of pulling the rib cage and the stomach away from the ball as much as you can as you're holding that breath in. And then you let everything out and you try to melt over that ball as much as possible. You could do that on your stomach. You could do that on the side of the ribs. And all that's doing is we're trying to create that feedback for the brain to say you can relax. Because especially when you're putting force into your rib cage, that's a little bit painful. It might feel your body might be naturally trying to guard against that sensation. So adding that, you know, trying to elicit that brain pattern and with that breath to get into that relaxed, more of a relaxed state really can help with the exercise that we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And number four on our list is something that we've been talking about kind of this whole time is how do we start to rewire our breath pattern? Jen talked about that quite a bit earlier. Again, if we're used to kind of running through our days and being in the stress of the day and not paying attention to that breath, we're going to have a consistent breath pattern that our body is used to returning to. So it's hard to suddenly take a couple breaths and then go into the day and be fine, right? Mm-hmm. Our body's going to want to revert to that fight or flight, that protect mode. So how can we insert throughout our day a few pauses where we consciously take two or three breaths, put our hands on our low rib cage, press into it a little bit and breathe into that low rib cage, breathe away, feel that rib cage contract down. Even if you do three or four of those every hour or two throughout the day, that's going to go a long way over the course of a few weeks to helping that reprogramming.
Yes. And I love the hands on the rib cage because one of the popular stretches in PT that they talk about is kind of using that strap and pulling down on the shoulder. And, you know, we're trying to depress the first rib, but I'm like, well, if we want to depress the first rib, let's not put feedback into that of where you're trying not to breathe into, right? Let's actually put feedback in the place that we want to start moving more, which is the sides of the rib, not the elevating the first rib. So I think the sides of the rib cage breathing is just one of my favorites. And we can use that breath then in getting some movement back in the upper back, which is what we kind of touched on a little bit with the wall pec stretch, but now we can do it in a little bit more active manner. So if we take a breath in and reach down and kind of round through the back and try to breathe in and expand from the back of that rib cage and then breathe out and open up the chest and try to extend in that back as much as you can. And even if you were to do this flexion and extension of the upper back numerous times throughout the day, especially if you work at a desk, oh my goodness, just imagine how much better you'll feel rather than being in a stagnant position, but actually getting some mobilization and some movement from that upper back. It would just start to feel so much better.
You can literally do it while you're waiting for a meeting to start, while you're waiting for a page to load, while you're waiting on hold for some sort of call, like anything. There's no excuse that you can't find 10 seconds to do a few of these breaths, you know, a couple times throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't take much extra time. You just have to be creative in where you find that time while something else is going on that you're more so stagnant in a waiting position.
Yeah.
And so then the last one, again, we're going to bring another tool. You can use a foam roller and kind of laying on that lengthwise.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a long foam roller
running from your tailbone up to your head. And this is where we'd love to just use this to get an opening of the chest and the pec area. You can even just start by letting those arms relax down to the side and then get back into that breathing where you're going to be trying to take a deep breath into that low rib cage. And then as you exhale and you pull those rib cage down, you're probably going to feel that stretch deepen in itself because you're changing the position of the rib cage where those pec muscles attach into.
Yeah. So even if you were to do some like meditation, because again, we're looking at stressors in life, right? So if there's stress in life, like let's put your body in a position that you can relax a little bit as you're starting to like zone out or listen to a meditation or whatever it may be. So laying on a foam roller, you don't have to be sitting for meditation.
Or a Brentwood Holmes yoga meditation pillow.
That's a really good one.
That's
the,
nice.
The long one, the bolster.
The long one that's nice and soft and is a great thing to lay into.
Yeah, but anything that starts to relax the chest, relax the neck, relax the lats, get the neck moving a little bit more, the upper back moving a little bit more, you know, we're going to start to reduce those symptoms and those pain signals that are eliciting that inflammation response. It's not literally that you're, you know, looking inflamed around the rib cage. It's that we have this continuous chronic inflammation response kind of happening around this rib cage, and it's eliciting this pain. So what we need to do is get our bodies moving, get our bodies feeling better, and we can start to change those signals that are happening.
Thanks again for tuning in for another PT Pearl on costochondritis. Just some quick tips on what you can start to do, downregulate that system and get rid of that pain. There's also that episode on slipping rib syndrome if you wanted to go listen to that. Episode 84, we'll link that down in the show notes. And of course, if you wanted to start to explore more on how you can develop good core stability, upper back and neck mobility, working on that shoulder, and just full body mobility, we have all of these plans in the Gen Health platform. You can go to gen.health/free trial and start your free week trial and get into one of these plans to give you more concrete videos on what you can follow day to day to start developing this mobility, core stability, and freedom in your body. So go check that out. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.